inevitably get distracted and need you to save us once again. Quiet our hearts and fears and doubts this day. Invite us to walk with you once more. Give us the faith we need to step out of the boat and onto the water with you. Save us once again in this hour of worship and in every moment of our lives. Amen.
We worship through the singing and the hearing of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God."
Thanks to them, our Father.
want to say a special word of good morning to the children worshiping with us at home this day, for your families and for how you have gathered around your TV or computer or however it is that you're worshiping with us today. We're grateful to have you in worship with us. And this morning, I don't have anything to show you this morning because I want to talk to you about dreams. And it's kind of hard to hold something up that shows you about dreams but and talks about dreams. I guess I could have brought something from one of a particular dream, but I know for me, when I was growing up, there were times when I dreamed about being a baseball player or a doctor or various different dreams for my life. And maybe you have some dreams about things you like to do and maybe what you want to be when you grow up, and you can think and talk about those dreams. But there's a specific kind of dream that I want to talk to you about today, and that's a God dream is what I'm going to call it. And that's term I read in a book by a guy named Mike Slaughter. But a God dream is a dream that you get from God that aligns with God's mission and God's will, that helps the world to see who God is. And sometimes God gives us those kinds of dreams. And in fact, we're going to hear a story about a God dreamer from the Bible today, Joseph. And you've probably heard about Joseph before. He's the one who had the coat of many colors, or the coat with long sleeves. That's how our translation translates it today. It's a robe with long sleeves, a really nice, fine robe, and that his dad had given him. But Joseph was also a dreamer. He could dream dreams that pointed to the future. He could also interpret other people's dreams and knew how to see what God was doing in the midst of these big size dreams. And so we're going to hear some about Joseph this week and next week, actually, and his dreaming for the world and how it helped the world. But one of the dreams that we've already heard a little bit about today is that we get a chance to participate in. It was somebody's dream a long time ago, but it continues on as the Aldersgate Special Needs Ministry. And it's a ministry of our church. It's a ministry of the Methodist Church in South Carolina. But this is a big dream. It's a big dream for our denomination and for our state and for the ways that we get to participate in helping with that kind of a dream. And there's lots of missions and dreams that people have had, like Aldersgate, that we can participate in and help with. But not only that, but as we move forward, as you all grow up, you can dream those same dreams. God is going to give you some of those dreams about how you can do something that fits within God's mission and God's will to help other people, to be kind, to show compassion, to help those who might need a place to live, or might need something to eat, or might need something to drink, or might need some help along the way. God is going to give you all those kinds of dreams and give all of us those kinds of dreams so that we can work with God to do the big, big mission that God has for us of transforming the world and telling everybody about who God is. So today, listen for our story about Joseph, about his dreams and what he did with those dreams, but also listen for your own dreams. How is God helping you to dream something big for the world, a way that you can help, a way that you can be a part of spreading the good news and of helping others and being kind to others in God's grace? Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, we thank you for giving us big dreams. Dreams that fit with your mission and with how you are changing the world into your kingdom. Help us to live those dreams when you show them to us. Amen. This morning, as we move towards our time of prayer, I do just want to remind you that if you have a prayer concern you'd like to share with the church in worship or through the prayer concerns list in the bulletin, you can contact me. The quickest way is to email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org, and that'll get those prayer concerns to me. I'll be able to include them in our prayer list on Sunday morning, and we can also get those added to the prayer concerns list in the bulletin so that they can be prayed over during the week. On Thursday each week, one of those daily emails, as Sam mentioned, is our prayer email. This includes the prayers prayed on Sunday morning, as well as the prayer list, the spoken prayer list, and a link to the bulletin prayer list so that you can be praying over those towards the last half of the week as we come into worship to utilize those prayers if you want to, those same prayers that we've prayed in worship on Sunday morning. It also has some other resources in there for prayer to help with your prayer life and to help kind of bolster you in prayer during this season of pandemic and in the life of the church where we're a little less connected in person than we have been. And now let's go to God in prayer. God of glory and grace, you have a will and way for this world in which you seek to include us. You give us dreams to dream and visions to see of how this world will be in the fullness of your kingdom. You give us wisdom and insight so that we can work for that kingdom's coming with you. In that fullness of the kingdom, we know that there will be no grief, no illness, no tears shed, no squabbles and strife, and death will have lost its sting. We look to you today for a glimpse of that dream, of that vision of your kingdom. And as we wait for that kingdom to come, we pray for our neighbors, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the world. And so today we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially for Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, Jeanette, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19. For all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For Eddie Williams and his family in the tragic deaths of his daughter and grandchildren. Eddie is a friend of Mary Mason. For the family and friends of Lou Ponticus at his passing after a courageous battle with cancer. He was a friend of the Nelsons. For the families of Andrew Bunnell and Jamie Lynn Lindler, who were killed in a boating accident last week, and for their friend who has been charged in the incident. For all those who are grieving this day. For Ernestine Stone, Susan and Sam, and Caitlin and Stephen, as Miss Ernestine is currently experiencing some health concerns. For Jackie Daniel, for Betty Arant, for Kathy Murphy and her family, for Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew, for Andrew, Ashley, and Emerson, for Bernard, Presley, and Felicia and their family in Bernard's recovery from surgery, for Bernard Presley's father and mother, for Luther, Bill Cranford's father, for Rita Pardue, Janice Seeley, for Jane and Bob Marlin McPhail's mom and dad, and his mother heals and recovers from a broken hip, as well as for their caregiver, Maya. For David, Sandra, and Hillary, cousins of Angus, Betsy, and Jeremiah. For Ruby, Ray, and Ruth, Betsy's aunts and uncle. For Bernie, Tanya, and Margaret, friends of Mary Mason. For all healthcare workers, our veterans and VA staff, and for all the members of Grace and their families. For all those on our prayer concerns list, and for those prayer concerns that go unspoken on our hearts this day. Reveal your holy presence, O God, to those we have named. May they know now the peace, strength, mercy, and healing that will be complete when your dream for this world becomes fully real. Keep us dreaming your dream. Do not let us see anything but your vision for the world. Make us heralds of your coming kingdom so that through our words and actions, all might know of your great salvation in Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name, the one who embodies your mission and grace. And we continue to pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
We worship through the hymn, Be Still, My Soul.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God. Still my soul, your best, your heaven. leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, your God will undertake to guide the future as in ages past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and wind shall know the Christ who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be blessed we shall meet at last.
Thank you. Please stand for the reading of the scripture lesson.
Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. And then continuing with verses 12 through 28. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear these words of God. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And continuing with verse 12. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and not lay our hands on him, for he is our own brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
So this week we hear how the story of Jacob, or Israel, as we heard last week as he's renamed, quickly transitions to the story of Joseph and Israel's other sons following Jacob's re-entry into Canaan. There's some details that we get in there, but we heard at the beginning, it kind of moves quick. Now, you know, after Jacob moved in, then we start hearing about Joseph. It happened in a few verses that the story shifted focus from Jacob over to Joseph and Jacob's other sons. And Joseph, we hear, is Israel's favorite son because he's the child of his old age. We get this kind of image that Joseph was a little bit of a tattletale. You know, he's telling on his brothers a little bit, but also that he was already Israel's favorite son. And the way our passage reads, because of how the lectionary selection goes, we miss a key piece of the story about his brother's kind of nefarious plans for him. And so I want us to talk a little bit about that, because it's not just that he was their father's favorite, and so they sold him into slavery to the Midianites, to the Ishmaelites. It's a little more complicated than that, because we hear too that Joseph is a dreamer. Joseph's dreams earn him both his father's curiosity and his brother's hatred. That and the fact that Joseph was his father's favorite and has told them for not shepherding the way that it was expected of them by their father. All of that kind of plays in with his brother's hatred. But I want us to talk about the dreams a little bit, because we can kind of feel the tension immediately in Joseph's story. As soon as it opens, we hear this piece about favoritism and telling on the brothers, and we know that these family dynamics and politics are at play. Joseph's got lots of brothers. You know, these are the brothers become the 12 tribes of Israel. He's got plenty of brothers to go around. And so there's all sorts of this family dynamics and the family politics at play. Who's the favorite? Who's doing the most work? Who's doing the work right? Who's getting the most reward? Why does Joseph get the nice robe? What all of this is at play in this story. And in the midst of all of this, with these kind of brief pieces about this, we hear that Joseph is also a dreamer. His dreams aren't recorded in the selection of the text that we read today. It's that section that we missed, 5 to 11. You can go back and read Genesis 37, 5 to 11 for yourself at a later time to actually read those dreams. But we do hear that his brothers derisively call him a dreamer as they see him approaching, right? They say, "Look, here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and tell our father that he's gone." Something about his being a dreamer. They don't say, "Look, there's our father's favorite. Let's kill him." They don't say, "Look, there's that guy with the nice robe. Let's kill him." They say, "Look, there's that dreamer." Something about the dreams is what has made Joseph's brothers so mad. As it turns out, Joseph's dreams were of his brothers, and then his brothers and father all bowing to him and looking to him to save them. There's two different dreams recorded in that section, 5 to 11. And the first one, it's just Joseph's brothers that are before him And they all bow down. They're all sheaves of wheat. And the other sheaves, not the big bundle sheaf, which is which is Joseph, all the others bow down to him and ask for his salvation, his help. And then in the next one, it's celestial bodies, the moon and the stars, and all of the brothers and one for Israel himself come and bow down before Joseph in the dream. These were Joseph's dreams. These were Joseph's dreams. They were of Joseph having power over his family. And he shared them with his family. Again, that family dynamics and politics comes back into play, doesn't it? If you have one of those dreams, you might just want to think about, how am I going to share this with my family before I tell them? Or, you know, because it's a little hard in that moment. But it's these dreams. It's these dreams. Because when Joseph's brothers see him, they say, there's that dreamer. It's these dreams that move his brothers to take action against him. They first plot to kill him, but they're swayed by Reuben, the oldest, and settle for kidnapping him in a pit. Reuben, we hear, had planned to free him before they could sell him into slavery or do him any harm, but he was too late in executing his rescue. Somehow he was separated from the other brothers, and Judah decides, well, it doesn't make any sense to kill him. We wouldn't make any money off of that. Let's make some money off of this deal and sell him into slavery. These dreams that motivate Joseph's brothers to take this seemingly evil action against their brother. And so Joseph finds himself sold by his brothers into slavery and eventually becomes a slave in Egypt, we hear. But part of what we know from Joseph's story is that he doesn't stop dreaming. In the midst of this, the rest of Joseph's story bears evidence that Joseph continued to use his gifts of dreaming and dream interpretation and wisdom to make a way for himself in Egypt. And actually, in this coming week, our devotions are going to guide us through that part of the story. I want to encourage you to read along with those devotions as they come out in our weekly emails, and check in on online to see those video devotions, because the rest of the story is going to be kind of laid out for us over this coming week of how Joseph continues to use those gifts of dreams and dream interpretation and wisdom to make a way for himself, even in the midst of kind of terrible circumstances at times. And then we're going to conclude this section of story next week in our sermon. It'll be part two of this Dreaming Dangerously sermon. Well, this is one sermon and part two is another sermon. I'm not going to leave y'all hanging that bad. But this week, as we are thinking about Joseph and his dreams and what it means for us to reflect on this story, I want us to highlight two things. And the first is that Joseph doesn't stop dreaming just because his brothers don't like his dreams. He has two dreams. His brothers don't like the first one, and he still tells them about the second one. He doesn't stop dreaming just because his brothers don't like his dreams, or even because his father is unsure of the dream's meaning, or ultimately even because his circumstances change for the worse. No, Joseph keeps dreaming even when there's opposition, even when there is just terrible circumstances out there. But he's dreaming, but he isn't daydreaming either. You know, sometimes we think about somebody who's a dreamer as kind of off and just flighty and not in reality and having these fantastic dreams. That's not what Joseph is doing. That's not the kind of dream he's having. He's not just wishing for some fantastic intervention in his life. He's not going, well, I'm gonna tell you all this dream and then you just have to start listening to me. That's not what he does with his brothers. And when he's sold by his brothers, kidnapped and sold by his brothers into slavery, when he's using those gifts, he's not just dreaming and daydreaming about how God could rescue him out of the situation, how God could just intervene and make it happen for him, or how he might be rescued fantastically somehow. That's not what he's doing. No, he's not daydreaming. He's not wishing for some fantastic intervention. He's recognizing that his dreams are from God. He knows the difference. And he's leaning into dreaming those dreams that are from God. He recognizes how his ability to interpret dreams is from God, and his ability to act on those dreams is from God. Joseph recognizes all of these pieces, and so he leans into these God dreams, into these dreams that he knows are coming from the Lord. And for us this day, and for us in the days and weeks to come, we need to commit ourselves to dreaming with God. We got to commit to dreaming with God. God has a dream for us as disciples, as each and every one of us as individual disciples, but also for the church. God has a dream that fits with God's mission and will and way, even now, with our circumstances completely upended, however they have been upended for you. All of us have slightly different variations on the theme of upended circumstances right now. And yet still, God is giving a dream for God's kingdom. To you and to me, to this church, God is still giving a dream for God's kingdom, a way that we can participate and advance the kingdom here and now, but we have to recognize that God is giving us a dream. We've got to recognize that God is giving us a dream, and we've got to stop daydreaming and wishing for some fantastic intervention. Daydreaming and wishing it all away won't work. But God's dream will. If we focus on what God's dream is for us in this moment, how we can not go back to normal, y'all remember that from last week, but wrestle through. That happened at night with Jacob and Israel. A little dream like itself. We got to commit to the dream that God is giving us. Commit to finding out what that dream is. What dream is God giving you? What dream is God giving us for what we're going to do next, for how we're going to move forward? We got to dream that dream, no matter how our circumstances continue to change, no matter what the opposition might be that comes up to it. We've got to commit ourselves to dreaming that dream with God. That's the first thing we've got to do. And the second thing that I want to highlight for us is that Joseph's brothers in this story, Joseph's brothers in this story don't recognize that Joseph's dream is not a threat to them. A lot of times we focus on the brothers, you know, being mad because Joseph is Jacob's favorite because he's got the robe, but that's not it. Joseph's brothers are mad. They're upset. They are threatened by Joseph's dream. They don't recognize that Joseph's dream is not a threat to them, that Joseph being able to articulate his dream and its meaning didn't make them less than him, even though that's how the dream seemed. That it just meant that his dream was his dream. They couldn't help but be threatened by his dream. It was made more challenging for him by the family dynamics at play, but when are family and relational dynamics not at play? They're at play all the time in our lives, in our family lives, in our church life, in our life with our friends. There's always relational dynamics at play, always these points of conflict and rub where we too often think of others as a threat. such that their articulation of their dream and desire and need or insight automatically becomes a threat to us. It's almost a default for us. I would say it's a part of our fallen and sinful nature that we can't hear somebody else's dream, somebody else's insight, somebody else's wisdom, somebody else's vision for what they think they're supposed to do and not be threatened. But God gives us all with dreams, each and every one of us. God gives us a dream for how we participate in the kingdom. A dream for what our mission and vision should be as individual disciples and as the church. God gifts us all with dreams, dreams for how we participate. Sometimes our dreams include other people or the church in general. Some of us have tremendous dreams in terms of the scope of people they include and pull in. Some are our dreams alone, our mission, ours to do. And they all fit within God's grand scheme. They all play an integral role in the mission and kingdom building that God would have us to do. But either way, whether that dream just involves one person or involves all of the known world, someone else's dream is not a threat to our dream when those dreams come from God, when we are focused on how those dreams fit in God's mission and vision and will and way. When we're focused on how our dreams fit with God's dream, everybody else's dreams don't have to be a threat to us. We don't have to think about how, well, if we do that thing, we can't do this other thing, or that conflicts with this thing that I think the church should really be doing. We have to find ways to allow one another to dream dreams with God for their life and faith and for the church so that we can move into the future with God. If we're not listening to what God is telling us about how we move forward, if we can't hear what God is telling other people about how we move forward, we can't move forward. If it's always, well, that's not what I want to do. I think we should do it this way. I think it should happen that way. We'll never go anywhere. If we can't listen and put it all in the context of God's mission and vision for the world, we'll just be stuck. We got to find a way to allow one another to dream dreams so that we aren't intimidated or put off by the direction we go together next, even if it doesn't fit with our personal preferences. So that we can continue to know Jesus and make him known to others in the unknown ways that will be necessary. Because we will only discover those new ways to know Jesus and make him known to others through the revelation of the Holy Spirit as we dream dreams and see visions of what God would have us to do next. Joseph dreams a dangerous dream. Two of them, in fact. He shares them anyway. He's not discouraged because his brothers don't like it or his father doesn't understand it. He continues to utilize that gift even when his circumstances are upended. Joseph dreams the dreams that God has given him. And as we're going to see in our devotions this week and in our scripture and sermon next week, his dreams, his dreaming literally saves his family and all of the known world. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in the blink of an eye. But it turns out that his dream was about how he would save his family and all of the known world at the time. Through the upended circumstances, through the opposition, through the challenges. His dream saved the world. Now we know that the world has already been saved by Jesus Christ, but what dreams does God have for us about how we might continue to transform the world into the kingdom if we will but listen to those dreams and to one another as we share them? If we can truly listen and not think of all the reasons why that dream won't work. If we can truly listen and not automatically go, well, that can't be it. That means we got to stop doing this thing we've always been doing. We can't stop doing what we've always been doing just to do this new thing you dreamed up. I can't give up this thing to do this new thing. We have to learn to dream dangerously. To dream dreams that seem too big, and then to follow them. To not be intimidated or threatened when somebody brings that dream before us, but to partner with them in transforming the world as God would have us transform the world. Would you pray with me this day? Heavenly and Almighty God, it's hard to dream right now. It's hard to know how to move forward, what to do next. It's hard to think about dreaming and visioning and looking to the future. But we know that you have a dream for us. We know that you have a vision for us. We know that your mission and your will and your way of the kingdom coming continues. Give us eyes to see and ears that can hear, hearts that are open to the dreams that you have for us. Help us to be ready and willing to share those dreams, even when they seem strange. Help us to keep dreaming with you no matter what, no matter the opposition, no matter the challenges, no matter the changes in our circumstances. We ask these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, the one who has come to transform the world into your dream, into your vision, into your restored and recreated order. Amen. At this time, let's affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
As you As you're preparing to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us, just want to let you know that we have a variety of giving options here at Grace. You can give online through our website, gracecolumbia.org. There's giving links on the right-hand and left-hand side of the page. On the right-hand side, it's up near the top, and the left-hand side, it's kind of near the middle of the page, but that's right there on the homepage for you. From that giving page, you can set up either a recurring gift or a one-time gift. You can set up an account to set up a recurring gift and kind of direct your monthly, weekly, or however often you want to give your giving to the church that way. You can also select between giving to the general fund or some of our other funds, mission and ministry funds that are there in our online giving page. You can continue to give to the church through check or cash, through the mail. You can drop it off personally in the mailbox out in the parking lot. Or if you're, as you're here in person this morning, if you haven't already placed your offering in the offering plate on your way in, you're invited to place your offering in the offering plates by the doors as you are departing this day. We are celebrating this day, Aldersgate Special Needs Ministry, and our giving towards that ministry, and we are excited to be able to do so, to be able to make a gift and plan some gifts over and above towards Aldersgate Special Needs Ministry, and we have a video today that we're going to take a look at together to hear more about Aldersgate Special Needs Ministry. Well, we will share that Aldersgate video on our Facebook page and make sure that it's out there where y'all can find it and see it. We're having a little technical difficulties getting it to run in the presentation this morning, so we apologize for that. But we are excited to partner with Aldersgate Special Needs Ministry to be a part of it. We have several church members who serve on their board and have served in various capacities helping with the Aldersgate Special Needs Ministry over the years, and it's a ministry that's near and dear to the hearts of the people of Grace. And so we ask you to give towards that ministry today or next week. The Aldersgate Special Needs giving option on our online giving will be up through the month. It's up there most of the time, in fact. So we encourage you to give today, but also if you're not ready for that, please make a plan to give in the future to Aldersgate Special Needs Ministry. Having prepared our hearts and lives to give back to God, now let us pray. Generous and responsive Lord of all, we believe in you. Do not put us to shame. We call on your name, trusting, hoping, knowing that you will save us. And not just us, but on all who call on your name. We believe in our hearts and confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we want others to know this good news too. We want others to know and believe in Jesus. Help us to tell them in ways that they can hear this gospel. Send us to tell everyone about you, and let our gifts and offerings this day be blessed and consecrated so that they might multiply our ministry and point to your coming kingdom. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
We worship through singing and hearing of We Shall Overcome.
we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand. We'll walk hand in hand someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. We shall all be free. We shall all be free. We shall all be free someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace. We shall live in peace someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. The Lord will see us through. The Lord will see us through. The Lord will see us through someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday.
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. Go into the world ready to dream dreams with God, ready to see what God has in store for you, for the world, for the church, ready to tell others about that good news, about what God is doing in your life and in the life of the world. Show others how God is still at work, how God is still moving, how God's grace is still active and vibrant. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.